Hey builders, Jason here. I just wanted to let you know that in this episode we talk about Unreal Estate, the upcoming game I got with the Grand Gamers Guild, and I'm very excited about. So excited that we mentioned multiple times, I believe, hey, 9/15 is the day that Kickstarter is going live. That is actually not true. That was the plan. There's a few more things we're working on waiting for them to come in, some cool stuff. So because of that, you can expect to see the Kickstarter go live sometime by the end of September. Anyways, enjoy the show.
You're listening to Building the Game with Rob and Jason.
It's Building the Game with Jason and Rob. For tabletop game design, you really can't go wrong. Building the game, yeah, building the game.
Huzzah! I feel like people don't say huzzah enough.
Huzzah. I don't care for it.
Huzzah?
Huzzah.
Huzzah!
Huzzah makes, when people say huzzah or something like that, I mean, well, they do that on Flip the Table, but because the spin and move game is the huzzah.
Right.
But I think of kind of awkward Ren Faire events. Like,
did they say that at Ren Faire events?
Where like, there's, I must have experienced this at some point, where I was at a Ren Faire, and there were some people on a stage doing a show of some kind that they were encouraging audience interaction, right? Because that's a thing at Ren Faire, right?
Yeah.
But no one was participating. And so they would...
Also a thing at Ren Faire.
So at one point they said to the audience, you know, whenever we do this, you guys have to shout huzzah, okay? And then they say, okay, let's try it. And they would say the thing, and then everybody on the stage would go, huzzah!
And the people in the audience.
And no one did it.
Huzzah.
And then they said, oh, come on, guys, you gotta... And then, so they say the thing, and huzzah! And maybe this time a few people went, huzzah! Just to be polite, you know, but yeah. Nobody... And then the people on stage, I think, got pissed. And then I think at one point someone came over and was, like, shouting huzzah at me. Like directly at me, because I was also not participating and I was like sitting on the end of an aisle or something. So I guess what I'm saying is that when people shout huzzah, it calls up, you know, scars, personal emotional scars for me. And I probably won't sleep very well tonight because of that.
Well, as I learned from my boys in
it's
Papa
good story.
Roach.
Uh-huh.
The scars remind me that the past is real. That's some Papa Roach song. Remember them? Remember those guys? They were like, cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. That's literally what I know of that. So.
My volume's all the way down.
Oh. So Rob just tried to play a fail sound and failed.
That was what I was going to try and do.
Yeah.
Actually, it worked better for my fail, though.
Yeah, it did. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast.
Yeah, we got to start over because there was not a good cut there.
Where do you want
to... I thought you
were just going to keep going. I was just rolling into it.
Well, I thought that was all banter for the front. Or for the end, rather.
I thought for the front it was so good. Why would you not just use that?
Well, not anymore. Too late.
Unless I just say hello and welcome to Building the Game.
Go on.
A documentary podcast. Today is Monday, 9/12, and you're listening to episode 224. 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
224.
That's what it is.
This episode is called Something and Something, as always.
That's kind of the format, yeah.
Kind of the format.
Right.
Blah!
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about huzzah, something that people don't say enough of that you actually said to me in a text recently, and I laughed out loud when I heard it.
Okay.
Like, which is, hey-o! Am I right? Hey-o! High five!
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love that.
No. Yeah. It's
a little Ed McMahon action there.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit of that.
Ed McMahon's awesome.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
And he was a guy.
He's dead.
He's passed away now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so...
Best use of a meme ever, by the way. So Gene Wilder died recently.
He did.
I'm not going to pretend to be like a huge Gene Wilder fan. I saw a couple movies. I liked them.
Yeah.
But you know that meme of him that's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Tell me more about, like, and this was this friend just said, "Oh, I died? Tell me more about how you've always been a huge fan." It's like, that's awesome. Because of course, that's all it's been is people sharing, RIP Gene Wilder. These people haven't thought about Gene Wilder in years. They didn't know him. Not like I did. I didn't know him either. And they still didn't know him like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, it's sad. It's very sad.
Oh, I'm not mocking the fact that he died. I'm just saying it was an excellent use of a meme to comment on people who were like, oh, no, Rufus. What? I don't know.
I don't know what happened between when we recorded. I don't know
the last episode and like 10 minutes later we recorded this one. But
did you get high or something?
I ran upstairs room and I was smoking.
You got a
down.
Little head rush.
Ooh,
man.
Yibbity doo.
That's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, see, look, we can just do this all night.
Yeah, you can do that. Maybe you can just finish the show and I'll head home. How about that?
I need your commentary.
Just email me the file when you're done.
It's less fun if you don't have a commentary.
Yeah.
So, boom. Stuff is happening.
Like what?
Like stuff. GrandCon is happening this week. Something else is happening this week. A little Kickstarter action's happening this week. I don't know what the Kickstarter is called. I think it's on real estate. I don't even know if I can say that or not. I figure by this time I can.
You just did.
I mean,
that's cool.
Kickstarter is launching on the 15th. I know nothing else about the time, the date. Well, the date, I told you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's going to be while we're at GrandCon, because why would we not do it while GrandCon is going when we can evangelize and talk about it and make people excited about the show and the game and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's super cool, man. It's super cool. It's a great game. I think it's going to do well.
I hope so. Because first of all, even if the game was terrible, which it's not, the game is awesome. But even if the game is terrible, buy it for the artwork, because the artwork,
pretty spectacular,
so good. And listen, I'm not probably allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Because Mark, what are you going to do? You're hearing this live when you're listening to it.
It's too late now.
And I know you're always behind on the show, which means that you probably heard this after the Kickstarter.
That's already over.
We got more artwork to show you.
Ooh.
Back that game.
You can see some nice stuff.
I've seen more artwork than you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen more artwork than you're going to see on day one of the Kickstarter. And let me tell you what, that artwork is good.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's real good.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, so
Rob has seen it. So. I have seen it. It is very nice. Yeah. So, we probably can't say what the amount per copy is going to be right now.
Nope. So, I mean, I know, but that could change, right?
Sure, we'll wait for the Kickstarter. We'll wait for that.
But I'll tell you what, it's a really good deal.
Yeah.
So it's a really good deal, and we've got some really cool stretch goals planned. I'm really excited about. I think we'll have Mark on the next episode while the Kickstarter's running.
That is a fantastic idea.
In fact, we could probably record that at GrandCon. Hey, that's smart.
Yeah. Good cross-promotional stuff there.
Right. Yeah. So we'll be at GrandCon. It needs to publish that Sunday.
It sure does.
We'll just record while we're there.
Yeah. I like that plan.
Then we don't have to get together to record, which is always awesome.
Yeah, I don't have to see your stupid face.
Yeah. Except for every day.
Except every day, because we work together.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm pumped about it. I'm not nervous. I mean, I believe it will fund. I'd love to see it hit some stretch goals again, because I know we got some good stuff. You guys are going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's very exciting. You know, and we go back to, we talked about this a little bit back in when Saloon Tycoon was on Kickstarter, and you guys came through on that, and then some. And
I mean, some, yeah.
That was super awesome. But, you know, we don't do a Patreon for the show. You know, we don't run Kickstarters for the show. We do this because it's something we love doing and we love sharing it with you guys. And if you guys care about us and enjoy what we do and you want to support us, the best thing you can do is support us when one of our games hits Kickstarter.
It's true.
And there you can do it for purely greedy reasons, because you're getting a copy of a good game.
But you can still feel good because you're
also helping us,
making our dream come true.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of those things. And we know we can count on you builders out there. Well, thank you so much for everything you guys have done for us, making all this stuff possible.
And Rob's game was like $60 or something on Kickstarter.
Yeah, yours is gonna be a little less.
So I don't know how much mine is, but you figure it out, and then you you buy $60 worth of copies, because otherwise I'm going to be jealous. If you bought the premium version of Rob's game, yeah. you better buy more copies.
Yeah, you owe a little bit more.
So
than
you
that.
Owe me.
Yeah.
No, seriously, though, buy a copy. I would love it.
It's a great game.
If you
really
got,
is a great game.
It's a great game for gamers. Mm-hmm. It's a game that you could pull out the special cards yep. and you could help teach kids
it's
some math with.
Super accessible.
So yeah,
super accessible. Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the game a little more in the show in the pitch section. I'm going to kind of repitch the most current version of the game and how it works.
Yep, I think it's a great idea
because it's our show and we can do shameless self promotion.
Do whatever we want.
There's nothing you can do about
right.
it.
Right. Well, you could stop listening.
You could, but we've already promoted to you now. So
right. too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about a game topic first.
Real quick, I wanted
to.
I have
yes.
played a couple other games.
Whoa.
Here in the last week.
How long was I upstairs?
Man, let me tell you, time distortion. I mean, anyway, so I had a game night that I didn't talk about in our last episode with some different friends, and we played. This is my first 5-player game of Lords of Waterdeep. Still super good. I got stomped on hard.
Ouch.
But man, that's a super good game. Lords of Waterdeep is so good.
I really want to play it.
Yeah. We were expecting to have 6 people, and so we were going to play with the 6-player expansion.
Mm-hmm.
But that 6th person was not able to attend. So we just played 5-player. That's okay. You can play 5 with the base game.
Lords of Waterdeep.
Super, super good. We played... Okay, so I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I think it's either Tanto Core or Tanto Cure. I'm not sure what the proper pronunciation of that is.
I don't know. It's got a weird spelling on core. It's
Q-U-O-R-E, I think.
I thought it was C-O-U-R-E.
It's something like that. Anyway, weird spelling. So it's Japan Anime Games. It's basically Dominion rethemed with anime maids.
Well, we've gave away a copy of this game, didn't we?
No, we gave away a Kanzumi Goddess.
Oh, it's not that the same game?
No, it's actually pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like that is a game, I guess if it was a bad game, it wouldn't be as popular as it is. It wouldn't have as many expansions as it does, right?
Right.
It would have some, I think, because
some people would buy it for
because
other
of fan
reasons.
Service. Right, because of the fan service. But there is actually a pretty good game there. One thing, do you remember thinking back to Kanzumi Goddess, which is strictly fan service?
Yes.
That was as generic a deck builder as we could ever.
More of a game than we thought. Was that Gray Dietrich that won that copy?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
Gray, I hope you're enjoying that copy. So do you remember on those cards how the text on those cards was so small you basically needed a magnifying glass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that is a reality of all Japan anime games, because the text on the cards on Tanto Cure or core, whatever it is.
Same problem.
The text is tiny, 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 but it does anything. I mean, it's basically just Dominion, okay? It's basically just Dominion, except it has a mechanic in it where, all the cards are maids, or chambermaids and things.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some maids that in order to get victory points for them, you have to dismiss them from your deck back to your chamber. Okay. And then they're no longer in your deck and you can't get any action benefits from them, but by sending them to your chamber and by doing some, getting a set of 2 or 3 or 4 or getting a complete set of 3 different ones or whatever, you can get score multipliers, which actually introduces some really cool ideas because it makes some deck culling aspects a core function of the main game.
Cool.
And then adds some interesting set collection score multiplier concepts into it, which was really good. Iconography on the cards is just abysmal. Okay. So on top of the teeny tiny text that you need a magnifying glass to read, the iconography is complete garbage. Complete and utter garbage. I think if they hired a new graphic designer to come in, somebody who actually knew what they were doing, to like basically do a second edition of that game, they could. I would go out and buy it.
Wow,
because it was good. It was good, and we played with
the
core base set.
That your friend plays it a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, he and his girlfriend love it, and I mean I make jokes about anime made fan service. It's actually not that.
Not that bad.
Not that bad. No, I mean it's
compared to Kanzumi Goddess.
Compared to Kanzumi Goddess, right? It's not that bad. It is what it is, and it's a known thing, but it's not... it's not, I wouldn't say it's inappropriate for children, you know. There's nothing, it's not like hentai or something.
That risque.
Yeah. So, I was very impressed. Caught completely off guard. Like going into this game, I thought, man, this is all right. I'm going to humor him because he's my friend. But no, it was pretty solid.
That's good.
Also, we poked around a little bit. We didn't get through a full game, but we kind of messed with Tales of Arcana.
Yeah.
Really like it a lot.
I can't wait to try that.
Really like it a lot. I'm looking forward to running a full game of that. So, Tales of Arcana, again, is that kind of card-driven RPG thing that I found at Gen Con.
What if we recorded a game in that?
We could do that.
That might be fun.
That might be fun.
It's like free content.
Yeah, we might be able to do that.
Free content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonus episode, Tales of Arcana. I would love that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, just of us just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
I'm in.
Okay, cool.
Let's do it.
So let's move on then to talk about a topic. Just wanted to share that stuff.
Real quick, I was like, hey, Gray Dietrich. I was at his house recently.
Oh,
so
hey.
We played some games. Cool. I can't talk about any of them. But hey, all right.
Hi, Gray.
So, yeah. Gray was there. I met a guy named Bruce. And also a guy named Joe was there, who I've met before.
Okay.
And I think that was all of us.
Good story.
Gray's wife was also there. She's a super nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
We've both met her many times. Super nice. Yeah, and their house is awesome. So it was good times.
Good.
So,
yeah.
All right.
Good story.
Okay. Now let's talk about the topic.
We got a question, Twitter question from Daniel Newman that we were going to talk about last week, but it actually was a pretty solid question. So thank you, Daniel. And we thought we would just turn it into a topic for this week.
A topic.
Yeah. So his question is, do you keep playtesting a game after a publisher has asked for a prototype, or do you shelve it?
Yes. Yeah,
so I think that's an awesome question.
That's an awesome question. And we can even go a little farther to say that, first of all, that Tom Petty was right. And the waiting is the hardest part, right? Rob is a huge Tom Petty fan. Sing it to him whenever you see him. Tom Petty, Rob's favorite ever.
Yeah.
It's not true. Rob is a communist because he doesn't like Tom Petty.
Where are the Reds? Right here. Right here.
So, anyways, but no, it's a good topic. We should talk about this. So,
talk about waiting.
Waiting, and also, yeah. So, the first question, do you want to answer? Or do you want me to answer?
I think yeah, we both go have ahead and go first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, first question is, what do you do with your prototype? So I'll give you two scenarios. In general, I will say though, I take that prototype. Well, first of all, it's probably the only copy I had because I'm unprepared. So, and I plan to not make another one until I know that I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I had to make another prototype and then they bought it, I'd be annoyed that I made another prototype. So, I don't do anything with it in general.
Mm-hmm.
In general, I do nothing. Now that said, if they've got it and I either A, think they're not going to pick it up, or B, want to be ready with some changes if they came back to me and said, hey, you know, we were thinking, like, then I might mess around a little, especially if I really thought they're not going to pick it up, then I would keep moving with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to take that time as a break, right?
Yeah.
As a break from the game to say, you know what? They got it. Why change anything? Because first of all, they may love it the way it is. Why would I want to change it? And be like, oh, well, sorry, I actually changed this.
Yeah.
You know, be a jerk about it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same way. If I've turned it over to somebody, yeah, it's an opportunity for me to take a break. And if they like it, fantastic. And then we can move forward working together on revisions. If they don't like it, then I'll come back to it with fresh eyes, you know, and see what can I do else with it. I didn't actually have that opportunity with Saloon Tycoon, of course, because I had sent out several copies after Unpub a few years ago, and a couple of those were asked for in the middle of Unpub, and then I had to keep working on it, you know,
right.
While we were there. But at any rate, I think you and I are both waiting to hear back, hoping to hear back from AEG.
Yep.
And in that case, giving them Treasure Trouble, I was pretty much done with it anyway.
Right.
There are a few, some text that could be rephrased on a couple of cards for clarity, but functionally I think that it's complete. I think it's finished. And I don't want to speak for you, but I think you feel similarly about.
Yeah. With Ramblers, I mean, there's a couple things I think I might tweak in it, really small.
Yeah.
And it was mostly around like bits.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when I gave it to EG, I was like, I was thinking about making less bits in this game, but I know you guys don't care about bits. And he's like, yeah, we're covered. So
yeah.
So yeah, so that wasn't a concern for them.
Yeah.
So I didn't bother pitching him that way. Instead, even when I, so there comes a thing about knowing your who you're pitching
yeah,
to.
Yeah, sure.
I specifically went in there saying like, here's more bits because you guys can handle bits. And your guys are smart enough that if you don't want the bits, you'll think of a better way to track it. So, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Epic Monster Tea Party, of course, that has been a long waiting game.
Right.
And that, but that was another one. When I started sending it out to publishers, I felt like it was done. I felt I was real happy with where it was.
And even though some publishers gave you feedback of it needs more, you waited because other publishers were still looking at it. Because
I kind of disagreed.
Right. Yeah. You also disagreed, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, and somebody still published it. So obviously you were 100% right. Well, right. I mean, it could go either way, right?
We'll see.
They could have, meaning like you could have added something, you could have made the game 10 times better, but the game is awesome as it is.
Yeah.
So, or you could have added something and it could have ruined the fun of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so I don't know. I guess in my experience, I haven't really given a prototype to a publisher that I felt like was not ready. I mean, the publisher certainly has felt like it was not ready in a few cases.
I think that's pretty standard.
Yeah, but never a point where I didn't feel like it wasn't ready.
Right.
Yeah, so I haven't necessarily been in that specific situation. I've had some stuff with scrappers, but I'm hoping that we can get somewhere on that,
right,
soon.
So what about while you're waiting? What should you be, if you're not messing with your game, what should you be doing while you're waiting rather than just sitting around checking your email, hitting refresh, hoping something shows up?
You should be devoting your energies to some other design.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, just that simple, right?
And you know, so there's a couple reasons to look at that, right?
Yeah.
One is it keeps you busy, keeps your design brain working. But I think the other thing is, let's say you don't deal with rejection the best. You know, if you get that rejection back from them, hey, you're already working on something else that's cool. So good for you, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
What if the publisher says, hey, Rob, we don't like this game, but we like your style. Let us know if you got anything else. Oh, I just designed a game while I was waiting for you. There you go.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. My number one tactic is to make myself forget that I even submitted the game.
And then be surprised if you get an email.
And then, yeah, just as soon as it's... it's sent away. As soon as it's gone, it's like, well, that's never coming back.
Right.
Never going to hear from them again. All right, let's move on. Let's just write this whole experience off and assume that I'm a big fat failure, and then I'll drink myself to sleep for a week, and then maybe I'll start getting back to some kind of creative effort. Not for a whole week, maybe for just one night. I have a lot to drink, but
so yeah, you should definitely.
Keep I'm not an alcoholic, I swear.
Keep working on other designs. That's good.
Yeah.
During that time. You know, and there's nothing wrong with researching other publishers that might be interested in your type of game.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're ready with other submissions.
Just because you sent a game to one publisher doesn't mean you can't send the same game to other publishers.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I know some people who have like four copies of any given game and they just pass them off to a publisher. I don't normally do that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I've struggled, frankly, to... find publishers interested where I say, hey, can I send you this game, where they would say, yeah, okay, send it on. You know, that's only happened to me one time, and that publisher didn't pick up the game, but they were very generous and even taking the time to say okay and be nice to me, because at that time, that was a long time ago when I was nobody,
right?
So yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Man, we're so bad at pitching, though, aren't we?
Well, no, see, here's the thing. Like, I feel like I'm actually pretty good at pitching to a publisher if you put me down in front of them. I feel like I'm really bad at getting the opportunities
to pitch, right?
That's what I
mean, yeah. Yeah, right.
I know quite a few publishers, but I feel like all the publishers I know don't publish the kind of games I design.
Yeah.
And then I'm told that there are lots of publishers that publish the kind of games I design, but I don't know them.
Yeah, right. And I don't know how to get in touch with them or what to do.
Right.
And I'm not that super outgoing guy who will just walk up to a publisher and say, hey, I'm this guy and I'm awesome and you want to buy this thing from me. I'm not good at that.
Yeah. And like, we've both sent emails to publishers and gotten cruddy responses.
Or none at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, oh, yeah, let's do that. And then they just never show up, you know?
Boy, that's happened to me four or five times.
Yeah, just this happened to me more than once as well.
Oh, that's annoying.
And that's frustrating.
We've talked about that before.
That's just rude.
Yeah. But also, you know, we don't go to every convention like some people do.
Right.
You know, we go to Unpub, we go to Gen Con, we go to Grand Con, and if possible, we go to Origins.
Right. But that's 4 a year. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
And we go to the right conventions. I think Origins is a good one. Unpub is a good one. Gen Con, it's not as great for the business because... Yeah. Everybody's so busy.
Right.
And Grand Con, I think, is good for that. I mean, there's not as many publishers there, but they certainly got some free time if there are. So
yeah.
I don't even know. I need to ask Mark who's going to be there.
I think it's on the website.
Now I feel weird, though.
Grand-con.com.
Like, hey, Mark, what other publishers are going to be there? And you'd be like, why?
Who's your competition?
Yeah.
I got this game called Unreal Estate that I think they might like.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what you do when you're waiting. And how to handle the rejection part, you know, just remind yourself that you're a failure and that's okay.
And that you're never going to succeed and you just need to accept that you're going to forever be a horrible failure.
You know what I'll say without naming names? I'll say this, that we knew another designer who also pitched to AEG while we were at Gen Con. Mm-hmm. This designer's been published multiple times. Mm-hmm. And they took copies of Rob and I's games and they did not take a copy of that other designer's game. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? Sometimes your game is not for a publisher. And that game might be awesome, mm-hmm. but it didn't fit that publisher, right? And that publisher didn't see the vision in that game. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to see the vision in your game probably a lot of times.
Most of the time.
Most of the time, right?
Like, so far, it's only worked for me twice.
I mean, when I was telling someone else that I... first telling someone that you know, AEG took my game and they're looking at it, I said, but nothing's going to come of it. They're going to reject it. And they said, well, that's pessimistic. And I said, no, that's what happens about 75% of the time because they get so many submissions.
Sure. Maybe more than 75%.
Yeah. You know what I mean? When I was talking to Ryan, from AEG, mm-hmm. and I said, I published my own game and then I also, have a game coming out. And he said, wow. He said, man, congrats. You have done better than 90% of people trying to design games. He may have even said 95.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, I mean, we are successful people because you've had one game published and I published a game and have another game coming out, right? Mm-hmm. From another publisher. So, I mean, that's success, you know?
Sure.
I mean, sure, it's moderate success, but I mean, we've both now done something that other designers only dream of being able to do, you know?
Right.
And it's not because we're better than them. It's because... The stars aligned, whatever, it worked out for us, right? You know, just like sometimes that happens for them. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. But man, it sucks to wait.
It does. So, but waiting is really the worst, right?
It is the worst.
When I got from the last company that Minecart Madness had, when they sent me the rejection letter, I just was like, well, that's done. All right.
Yeah. At least I don't have to wait anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I'd rather just know that it's not going to work than not know at all. That kind of like, cause I don't feel hopeful in that case. I just feel nervous.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause part of me is nervous. They'll be like, yeah, we want this game. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah. Can I talk about another aspect of waiting?
Sure.
Epic Monster Tea Party.
Yes.
That I sold now.
12 years ago.
almost 2 years ago. I've seen banners for it at both Origins and a Gen Con.
And they look great.
And they look great. And in fact, I've seen a finished copy of the game that they have
I saw that
to demo, and still no Kickstarter happening yet. So we are just waiting for Playco to get caught up on their production and so that they can make that happen.
But I mean, it sounds like we know some people that backed one of their other games and they got an update that sounded promising.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah,
so it's just waiting. I mean, and like we've seen the game. We know that they're ready to go. They know they've got a plan. We know it's gonna be good. It's just I don't know when it's gonna be good.
Right, and it's a cool game. It's one of my favorites still.
I really like it.
Have the original version from way back in the day.
So do I.
And I still love it.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm working on a new prototype. I might steal some bags from it. Yeah.
I've cannibalized two copies of that. Two old copies for different things.
For different
things. Yeah. Nice. I have one copy from the Game Crafter still in shrink that I will never open.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, waiting sucks, man.
It does. Indeed. Waiting is one of the worst things ever that you'll have to do.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough. Waiting equals doubt equals self-doubt for me.
Yep. And just that limbo of not knowing, right?
Not
like,
knowing.
What can I do with this game?
Yes.
You know? Well, you know, so I'm speaking of waiting, I'm waiting in another way. So the people who are looking at Minecraft Madness graciously agreed up front, I will say, that if they did not want the game, I would get the prototype back, right?
Yeah.
And I reminded them of that when they told me they didn't want it. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, we'll send it out right away. And they still haven't yet. And, well, okay, I haven't gotten it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I am suspicious that they haven't sent it out yet. And I hope they did, because I'd really like it before GrandCon, but I'm actually going to email them again and just say, hey, I don't want to bother you, but
it's probably not their top priority right now.
Right, which is fair, but I need this game, yo.
Yeah.
And I know I have no ill will towards this publisher.
Sure.
Totally cool that they passed on the game. They had legit reasons for passing on the game. I now know the people. I'm excited that someday I will pitch them more games, and I believe they will be receptive for that because I was a cool guy to talk to. They were cool guys to work with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Waiting sucks. Waiting, though, gives you a lot of time to fidget with Legos.
Well, the problem is the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon has just come loose. There it goes.
Okay. Good job.
It's just going to fall
fixed
down.
I broke it.
This is not a kid's toy at all.
I couldn't resist. It's not even close to a kid's
toy. Josiah's always like, I broke this. Can you fix it? And something fell off. Like,
guess what? It's Legos. It's not broken. It'll go back to
right.
Yeah.
He's finally calmed down about that.
Good.
When something comes apart that he's not like, it's broken forever.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to pitch a game.
Okay.
So, let's do that. So, all right. Hey, so I had this idea for this game called Unreal Estate.
That sounds like
crap. Total lie. Total lie. It was never my idea to have a game called Unreal Estate, but I love that name. I'm thankful that Mark was able to find that name and come up with it. So, all right. So I'm going to just talk a little bit on real estate to show you guys how it works. So the game is 66 cards, I think. I don't remember. I think it's 60-some cards.
83.
It's 60-some cards. So anyways, here's how the game works. You are a city planner. Because being a city planner is exciting, right?
Super exciting.
But,
it's my favorite job. It's always been my dream job.
But it's in a fantasy world. So that's a little more exciting, right?
Right. Well, that's okay.
So the idea is you are trying to build the most unique city possible.
Okay.
Right? And building unique cities sounds like fun, right? Now you're getting excited.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right. So the way you do that. Okay, stop. You're being a jerk now.
Oh.
Anyways, so the way that you do that is you've got a bunch of cards. And those cards, there's like 8 different cards in the game. And those cards all have different counts of cards and a different value on them, right? And that's how valuable it is to build said building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are buildings like the Halfling House, the Dwarven Tavern, the Magic Items Shop.
I'm out.
Wait. I don't know why you're out.
Magic Items Shop. Come on.
What? You might want to buy Magic Items.
Well, okay.
Do you not want to buy Magic Items?
Hey. I'm not going to judge.
One of my favorite places to go when I play D&D, Magic Item Shop.
Yeah.
Okay. Get into trouble, try and steal some stuff, fail.
Sure.
So there's an Elven Treehouse. There is an Enchanted Castle.
I'm back in.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's lots of other stuff, right? So anyways, so the idea is these all have different values and different counts. So there's 12 Halfling Houses. It's only worth 1. There's 4 Enchanted Castles. It's worth 8. Everything else somewhere in between, right? So the way the game is set up is everybody's got 2 cards in their hand to start with, and those are going to be 2 of those buildings. And then in the center of the board, or center of the play area, you have the proposal board. And that has 5 cards face up that are buildings, and those are buildings from the deck. And those are proposals that you can choose to draft into your hand on your turn, right? Your turn is simple. You can either draft or you can play a card. So for now, let's talk about drafting. On my turn, if I draft a card, I take it from the proposal board, I put it in my hand. There are 5 cards out there, no matter how many players you have, right? And what'll happen is, after it goes around 1 time and everyone gets a chance to either draft or play, then every card that's left on the proposal board, which is always at least 1, even in a 4-player game, but usually tends to be more than that, especially after the first turn, those cards go to what's called the scrap pile. Now, the scrap pile is pre-populated. In a 4-player game, it starts with 5 cards in it to allow you to play on the first turn. The scrap pile is the rejected designs, right? So if there's a Halfling House, for instance, in the proposal board, it slides on over to the scrap pile, and then you stack them based on their type, right? So I would stack all of the Halfling Houses together, and I would stack it in a way so you could tell how many were there, right? So now we can talk about playing a card. If I were to play a card for my hand on my turn, I would say play an Elven Treehouse, right? That's worth 6 points. I play that down and But I can only play it if there's an Elven Treehouse in the scrap pile, right? Ooh. Because my goal is to play unique buildings. And the more that have been dumped to the scrap pile, ergo, the more unique they are, right? Because nobody else is building them.
Sure.
So I play that Elven Treehouse, and the score on the Elven Treehouse is worth 6 times the number in the scrap pile, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a 4-player game, a lot of times that's times 1, sometimes times 2, right? In a 2-player game, you can go bananas, right?
Bananas.
Because there's the same amount of cards and more scoring. You end up with a higher score usually in a 2-player game, right? So I make that score. I do this simple math there. And then, boom, I record that score. And that's my score for that play.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, the card that I played and the cards that it matched are taken out and put in a discard pile.
They're gone.
Yes. Now, so one thing that changes is, say I played 2 Elven Treehouses. They're both worth 6 points. Now I have 12 points.
Ooh.
Multiplied by the number that is played, right?
Ooh.
Yeah, so you're trying to balance, because of the multipliers, you're trying to balance the number of cards you have in your hand to the number of cards in the scrap pile, right?
Yep.
And
hope that you get it before someone else does.
Well, and that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
Is that because it clears when you play, you've got to really pay attention to what other people are drafting.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, you're dealt 2 cards at the beginning, and nobody knows what they are. And, you know, I had one of my favorite situations in the game was... I had was dealt 2 enchanted castles. Now, there's only 4 in the game. They're worth 8 points each. So that's 16 points I'm holding in my hand times whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see, like, on I think on turn 1, there was an enchanted castle in the scrap pile, right?
Yep.
And I hedged my bets that nobody probably had it in their hand. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And eventually, in like the second to last turn, it mm-hmm. comes out onto the proposal board. Somebody drafts it, and I immediately play and score the points. And now they're screwed and they can't play.
Sure.
Right. So it's a game where, like, about on turn 3, people are like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Can yep. we? So I played it this weekend like 5 times in a row with some people. They were just like, can we play one more time?
Yeah.
Just play one more time. So, and then to make the game a little more spicy, there are special buildings, right? And these special buildings don't score you points directly. Instead, they do other things.
Mm-hmm.
So right now in the game, there are 3 that it starts with, right? And there's 2 of each. So there's 6 special cards total. When you start the game, those are off to the side. You shuffle, give everybody cards, lay out the first cards, get the scrap pile set up. Then you shuffle those in,
mm-hmm.
and they can come out at any time.
Mm-hmm.
They come on the proposal board. You've got some options. There's the Thieves Guild, right? If the Thieves Guild comes out on the proposal board, it says if you draft this card, you can immediately look at someone's hand and take a card of theirs, right? So you're basically drafting a card from someone's hand instead,
yeah.
right? There is the Airship.
Mm-hmm.
The Airship says if you draft this card, you can immediately draft a card from the scrap pile instead of. So now when I started this, those were pick up the card and eventually play it later.
Mm-hmm.
And they just weren't powerful enough. So this was a tweak that we made fairly recently.
Mm-hmm.
You have not played it since we made this.
Yeah, so as soon as you grab it, you then get to do the
for
thing?
Some of them. So the third thing is the third special card is the Orc Outpost.
Mm-hmm.
So the Orc Outpost, you do have to draft in your hand. But what it allows you to do is it doesn't waste an action, because on a later turn, you can play that back to the proposal board mm-hmm. and instead draft 2 cards out. So if you've ever played Sushi Go, I'm not even going to lie. That is chopsticks. Like, I it was like, I love that mechanic.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal it. So because that is a great mechanic in Sushi Go. And what's cool is if I do that on my turn and Rob still has a turn, Rob can just draft it right off the proposal board and use it again later.
Mm-hmm.
A very powerful card. So the idea was, with these few tweaks we made towards the to the playing of these cards like mm-hmm. this, is that there's no wasted actions, right? I take an action, right? So there are, you know, so there are definitely other ideas for other special cards.
Well, you should maybe put some thought into that.
I should put some thought into that, right?
Right.
But yeah, and the other ideas, special cards might be awesome. So anyways, there's a thought. So that's on real estate. That's how it
sure.
works. I could literally can teach someone to play it in about 60 seconds.
Yep.
And by turn 4, they want to punch their neighbor because they've already been screwed over.
Yep.
So, and I like 2-player games, because 2-player games, like, I basically, except for the 2 cards you got at the beginning, I will memorize the cards you're drawing. I will know what you have the entire game, right?
Because you're that kind of person, you
right.
can do that, yeah.
But in a 4-player game,
it's tough.
I usually pick one person who seems to be doing well, and I will try to remember what they have so I can screw them over.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So
it's a great game. I'm really looking forward to having my own copy. Big time.
It's very much inspired by Parade mm-hmm. and that sort of just simple game mm-hmm. where you're two options on your turn. Yep. The artwork though, the artwork is amazing. Like, go to the Kickstarter and look at the artwork. It's done by Corinne Roberts. Mm-hmm. She's from Grand Haven. She's a local girl who we met, I met her for the first time, I think, was it at Grand Con?
Might be the first Grand Con.
Might have been the first Grand Con. Yeah. So I walked past a booth and she had this artwork and it just caught my eye immediately.
Yeah.
And she does a lot of poppy stuff, you know, mm-hmm. like, pop culture stuff. Yeah. And, she does it mostly in watercolor or pencil sketch. So that's a cool factoid about this game is, right, everything was done in watercolor mm-hmm. and then scanned.
Yeah.
So like, this is like legit watercolor.
It's not digital
not
art.
Not digital at all.
Right.
Now there's nothing wrong with digital art, but no. There's a certain texture and feel to it that you'll notice when you look at it.
It really is beautiful. The art's unlike anything you've seen in another game, I think. Yeah. I think that's a fair statement.
And she just has a style, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was funny because she would basically, through the process, she would send us two pencil sketches mm-hmm. and say, pick one. And then we'd pick one, and then she would take that and she would use it to make the full painting, right? Mm-hmm. And these pencil sketches, she could do these in like 2 minutes, and it just drives me crazy because she's like, I just quick whip this up, hopefully it's okay. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But so many times when we were making judgment calls, because Mark let me be heavily involved in the process, and even
it's really nice of him.
Yeah, and even Chris Kirkman is doing a lot of our graphic design stuff and mm-hmm. helping with things. He had a lot of say, too. Like, we would three look at it together and mm-hmm. say, what do we vote on this? Yeah. And we would kind of vote together, and then I would go back to Corinne and say, this is what we chose, right? Mm-hmm. And I love that Mark let me be involved in the process because I'm a little bit of a control freak. But what was great was we sometimes argued. Sometimes the three of us would disagree, right? Mm-hmm. But what it always came, kind of our unspoken rule was, I like this one better, but this is Corinne. This is her style, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So in the end, this is going to tell a better story, and this is going to look better when she finishes it.
Sure.
Because, you know, there's one card I can't talk about yet. There's a card, and it's like a standard thing in a fantasy world, there were two ways to do it, and we looked at the one, and immediately Mark and I said, this looks awesome. And then we both looked at the other, and we're like, but this is Corinne, and this is what gets people's attention because it's not standard; it's different, that was really exciting to be able to do that. I can't wait to show you more artwork. I can't wait to show you all the crazy plans Mark has for this. Mm-hmm. I sound like I'm sales pitching, but I'm just super stoked because to get my game published was awesome, but to be able to this kind of started with Mark saying. This was Hip City, right? And mm-hmm. he said, what if we made this a fantasy theme? And I said, gosh, my first thought was like a droll kind of fantasy, like, you know, nothing really popping about it. And I said, do you think we could get Corinne Roberts to do the art? Mm-hmm. And we did. And he loved that idea, you know, and as soon as we figured that out, I was 100% sold on the fantasy city because I knew in her style, it would be something that would pop, something that would stand out.
Yeah, it's not just fantasy. It is truly fantastical.
It
kind of embodies that that feeling that is often, sadly, so lacking from many fantasy things.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
The airship, I think, is one of the things that catches that the most.
Yep.
Because the clouds behind it are so ridiculously mm-hmm. just fantastical is a great way to say it. So, cool. All right. Well, that's probably enough shameless self-promotion on that, but check it out. The Kickstarter, like I said, will be live on the 15th. Hey, if you back it, tweet me to tell me you backed it. I'd love to hear that. Yep. It's exciting.
Unreal Estate, look for it on Kickstarter. I'm going to be backing it ASAP as soon as it's up.
I will too, so that I can comment.
Yeah.
This game's awesome. More people back it. It's funny because that's like standard now. Like I've noticed at first, that wasn't like a thing, but now pretty much designers always back their game so they can comment in the comments on it.
Oh, I just assumed.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hadn't seen that until maybe a year ago, and everyone does it now. So,
okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Then I don't feel bad about doing it.
Why not? So,
yeah. Cool. All right. That's enough.
All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We always appreciate it. If you want to get in touch with us, this is the normal stuff. You know, send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Jason is at J.A. Slingerlin. I'm at poorly_designed. You can like us on Facebook. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and other podcast places. Go to our website, buildinggamepodcast.com, where you can find links to buy Water Balloon Washout and finish it, the Outrageous Storytelling Party Game, or the Rumble Bum Academy for bug-based baking. Some of our older things. Call our Google Voice number at 770-TELL-BTG and leave us a voicemail, and we will probably listen to it on a future episode and comment on it.
Yeah.
See us at Grand Con, grand-con.com. That is this coming weekend in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We hope to see you guys there and back on Real Estate starting on the 15th on Kickstarter. You won't regret it, I promise. And that's all we got for tonight. So thank you.
Good night.
See ya.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios. All of the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are property of the Building the Game podcast. Next time on Building the Game.
Let's talk about games.
Games are the best.
Games. So much. Let's play some games.
Games are my favorite thing. Hey
games. Ha!